Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
In all the years that he was this blind man walking around, do you think he felt insignificant? Do you ever feel insignificant? We all do, don't we? We all feel sometimes like, you know, who cares about me? Who notices me? Does it really matter? But Jesus noticed him. And this I don't want you to forget when you leave here today. Jesus notices you. He knows who you are. He knows more about you than you know about you. And he notices you.
On every sports team, some players inevitably won't get as many minutes as the others. It may seem like no one notices them, but they are a vital part of the team. They help build the culture. Today, Pastor Jim says if you feel insignificant or like no one sees you, you must remind yourself that God sees you. He loves you and values you for who you are. When you feel alone and unwanted, you must remind yourself that there's a God who cares about you. That's a promise you can rest in. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 9 as he begins his message, Seeing the True Light of God.
Well, in chapter 8, which we finished 2 weeks ago, that took place in the temple, and it was like a courtroom scene. What was going on is that the religious leaders were interrogating Jesus. And we said that chapter was a difficult chapter, but it's very important to understand why the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. He posed a threat to them, and now they want to kill the guy they knew as Jesus of Nazareth. Chapter 9, it could be still, remember this is the Feast of the Tabernacles. They did these lighting ceremonies symbolic of the presence of the Lord and the Messiah. We might say that chapter 9, Jesus goes out to prove what he said about himself in chapter 8. Today, Jesus will meet a man who was born blind. He's going to tell this man that he's going to tell us today that he's the light of the world. But Jesus is talking about more than just not being able to see. What Jesus is talking about is spiritual blindness. It's a blindness to God, for sure, but in some ways, I think it's also a blindness to ourselves. A lot of times, we don't see where we are in our stance with God or in our spirituality, and so he's going to be talking about that, and he's going to be talking about opening up our eyes, and so when Jesus opens our eyes, we actually come into, let's call it a new world. Things are just very, very different for us. In the Gospels, when you read through the Gospels, Jesus heals people physically, but they're often symbolic of a spiritual healing, something we should always look for when we read the Gospels of Jesus Christ. So the title of our message today is Seeing the True Light of God. Seeing the True Light of God. Now, we've called this section of the Gospel of John Jesus' conflict with the religious establishment. I mean, he is really not holding back. He's telling them who he is. He is God become a man, God adding humanity, second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he's telling them that, and they really don't want to hear anything about it because they were the religious leaders and they had a great thing going. They were respected, they really governed the country, and they were making tons of money. Okay, and in chapter 9, okay, we see that when Jesus healed people, okay, it was often followed by controversy. Now, isn't that sad? You would think that a guy couldn't see his whole life. He's healed, he can see. Wouldn't you be happy for the guy? And the religious leaders are upset. But we'll see later on in the chapter because once again, Jesus did it on the Sabbath. It was the wrong day of the week. I mean, come on now. Let's get real with it. Stuff like that. Yet it raises an important point. As we'll see in chapter 9, the spiritual blindness of Jesus' opponents is quite obvious. But at the same time, I believe that, you know, the Bible was written for us, really, to read, that God wants us to take an inventory of our own hearts. Where are we with Jesus? Where are we thinking about it? We might say we're Christians, but then we realize, well, I don't really know much about this whole thing, and what are we talking about here? And so you could say that some people are spiritually blind, they meet Jesus and they see, while others who think they see don't realize that they are spiritually blind. And the more they talk with Jesus, or the more we hear from Jesus, the more blind they become. So how does Jesus do it in chapter 9? In chapter 8, he was the great teacher and defender of the faith, but now he's going to become the great miracle worker of chapter 9 as he was in earlier chapters. Now, in the Old Testament, remember John is an interesting writer. All the different Bible writers of the four Gospels are all very, very different. He's kind of a mystic, if you will. He uses a lot of metaphors and figures of speech. And for blindness was often used for spiritual blindness and sin. That's a terrible thing to say about someone who's blind, isn't it? But that's the way it was. It's the giving of sight was associated with God and his Messiah and is what we call a divine function. So the man who Jesus gives sight to, as we go along in the chapter, we're not going to see it today, he's an interesting guy. He's my kind of guy. He doesn't hold back at all. And he just speaks his mind. He's kind of funny, really. And sometimes I think that when we read the Bible, there's funny parts and we miss them. And, you know, the Bible guys are just, they're just guys, right, who wrote it. And so in chapter 9, Jesus brings salvation to the blind, yet we will also see that there is a spiritual blindness and a judgment that is brought to those who reject the light. Now, the religious leaders were scholars of what we call the Old Testament. If you're talking to a Jewish person, call it the Jewish scriptures, please. And so they missed it. 700 years before Jesus was born, the great prophet Isaiah, my opinion, the best writer in the Bible, and he talked about how to recognize the Messiah in many places. I just want to pick out chapter 35 with two references. He says this, chapter 35, verse 2, "They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God." And then you jump down three verses. How do we see it? Chapter 35, verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." So you would think that when Jesus cures a man who is blind from birth, gets him to see, they would go, you know, maybe there's something special about that guy. But they don't. What do they want to do? They want to kill him. We left off in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus declared himself that he was God. And then it says in chapter 8, verse 59, the last verse, "Then they took up stones to throw at him." That would be according to the law of Moses, if anybody said they were God. "But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple through the midst of them and so passed by." So now we come into John chapter 9, verse 1. "Now as Jesus passed by," so somehow he gets out of that place, God perhaps delivering him, "he saw a man who was blind from birth." Now, it is hard to know whether John is going right into the next phase of this or there was a space and time. He doesn't really tell us that stuff. Remember, we always say that Americans are very focused on time. Bible writers are not. People find it frustrating. Just live with it, okay? And so, as we'll see, Jesus, again, they knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, still appears to be in Jerusalem. And remember, he said this back in John chapter 8, verse 12. We read it a couple weeks ago. "I am the light of the world." So he told them that already. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now let's go back in time 2,000 years. When are you alive? Some of you are older than me, so I don't know if you're alive or something like that, okay. Some of you are thinking like, "Pastor Jim, you weren't alive, you young people in the back there." Okay, so while we understand blindness, the ancient world did not. And this is terrible what a lot of people associated with. A lot of them associated with an inner darkness in the soul. I mean, how cruel is that? You meet somebody who's blind and you're like, "Oh, there's inner darkness in your soul." I mean, it's just absolutely awful. And a lot of people made the assumption that blindness was due to a wicked heart. And this is helpful as we go through chapter 9 because they treated this man very, very poorly. And some of the ways he talks to them, it's going to show. I love this guy. He's not afraid of these guys at all. But notice this, verse 1, "He saw a man." In all the years that he was this blind man walking around, do you think he felt insignificant? Do you ever feel insignificant? We all do, don't we? We all feel sometimes like, you know, who cares about me? Who notices me? Does it really matter? But Jesus noticed him. And this I don't want you to forget when you leave here today. Jesus notices you. He knows who you are. He knows more about you than you know about you. And he notices you. Also, healing the blind people sets Jesus apart from all the prophets of the Old Testament, okay? Jesus was and is today, even to this day, the healer of the blind, able to open up spiritual eyes of people. Verse 2. Now, the disciples' reaction is typical of the time. Listen to this. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, that word simply means teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Doesn't that sound terrible? But again, we got to go back to when they lived. So the disciples, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner and follower of Jesus. So if you say you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a learner and follower of Jesus. All Christians should be learners and followers of Jesus. They ask what we call a theological question. Now, you might say, why would they ask that? Are they smart? Well, you see, I remember growing up thinking that the apostles walked one foot off the ground, right? And then you read the Gospels and you're like, what a bunch of idiots, right? But that shows the power of God able to turn around the world with these guys, right? Flip the world right side up with these guys because of the work that they did. But there's a lot of places we could go to in their Bible. Remember, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, was Jesus's Bible. And so in the Ten Commandments, how many of you know what the Ten Commandments are? In the second commandment, okay, it's a three-line kind of commandment. In the second commandment, Exodus 20, verse 5, it says this, visiting the iniquity, that word means sin, of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. So that means that it could be your sin in their eyes, or it could be because of what previous generations has done. So that's where their question may have come from. Now, some of them believed, okay, and some of the rabbis taught that a child could sin in the womb, okay? Now, some of you are like, well, my kid was kicking me the whole time and acting up and giving me heartburn and stuff like that. Maybe I agree with that. Some of the ladies are going, amen. Men, quiet. Right? This is where we say nothing. We're like, sorry, baby. Right? Right? Sorry. Okay. Genesis chapter 22, verses 22 through 26. The rabbis taught that Esau tried to kill Jacob in the womb. Right? So again, guys, button the lips, right? Who knows what was going on inside of there? But what they would teach was that sin led to suffering. But I think for us, it's a little bit different. So I want to talk about something that may be different for us. Many of us have one big question when it comes to life. Why? Why? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there so much pain in the world? Why is there so much evil in the world? And all I can tell you is this, being a pastor, is that when the why question, when somebody opens the question with why, I know it's not going to be an easy one, and I know I'm probably not going to have an answer. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I may have a theological answer, but when people are hurting, that's not worth a hill of beans. And so here they are, they're trying to figure out what's going on, okay? Especially, you look at some people, they totally live their life not caring about God at all, and they have no problems. And there's other people who are trying to live a decent life, trying to follow Jesus, and they seem to have, you know, all kinds of trouble. And you just sit there and you go, what in the world is going on? And the way some of you guys have been taught over the years, you're taught that everything that you do wrong is somehow associated with sin. So we'll talk a little bit about that stuff, okay? So many of you grew up in an environment, again, that connected every wrong thing with sin. I don't know if they still do it, but you used to be those guys on TV back in the 80s and the 90s. They'd be like, there's sin in your life. And they're like yelling at the people. And I'd be like, you're nice people. You're like, oh, I guess there is. I'm like, no kidding, you idiot. Right? And so that's because I'm from Long Island. Okay. And so anyway, that's what we refer to as legalism. Okay, legalism. People think, okay, if you do good, God rewards you. People think if you do bad, you get punishment. Okay, now let's make sure I'm very clear on this, okay? I am not endorsing sin. Can you all repeat that? I am not endorsing sin. I don't want anybody to misquote me on that one, okay? But let's be realistic about this, all right? If every time we sinned, God punished us, we would be getting pounded into the pavement every day of our lives, right? Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? Hey, guys, if you ever looked at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery in your heart. Oh, boy, right? Pounded into the pavement. Pounded into the pavement. No way, no way. But the Bible at times says there is a relationship between sin and suffering. Some of the things that we do might lead to poor health or something like that. Drunk driving, that kinds of stuff, but not always. And what follows in chapter 9 will confirm that. That it didn't happen in this man. Jesus will talk about it in a bit. As followers of Jesus, we are not students of karma. Karma is, you know, what you do, what goes around, comes around. It's a lot more than that. So I don't want to be picking on it in that way. I don't want to oversimplify it. But people who believe that all suffering is because of sin, have you ever noticed something about those people? They're very mean-spirited, a lot of them. Not all of them, okay? They're merciless people. And I've met a lot of Christians, okay, whether they are or not, I don't know, all right? We'll talk about what true Christians are in a bit, all right? I don't know if they are or not. But you ever notice that a lot of those people are tough on others and easy on themselves? They're so hard on people, but they're tough on themselves. And you know what? I can say it because it's a lot of pastors are this way. You find out years later, the stuff that they were doing, they're just covering up themselves. They're a bunch of jerks, right? And so I can say that because I'm a pastor. You can too, I don't care. And it's just they're covering up their own sins. So once again, the question of why is hard. Let's acknowledge it. It's hard. However, right, the teaching of the Bible is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, okay? The Son of God who lived from all eternity past came to earth and put on humanity. So what does he know? He knows how difficult this life is. He knows what it's like to be teased. He knows what it's like to be treated poorly. He knows how hard things can be, okay? But a lot of times I have found over the years, okay, that some people do know why they are suffering. Let me give you one example. For a true follower of Jesus, a guilty conscience is very hard to carry. Isn't it? It's very, very hard. Yet, suffering without knowing it will draw a true Christian, and we don't even use the word Christian around here too much because it's too watered down. Jesus called people, when he called people, remember what he said? Follow me. Follow me. Okay? And true followers of Jesus, okay, really come to learn that suffering, if you don't know why you're suffering, it will draw you closer to God. That doesn't mean you don't have your moments, okay? Don't think like, oh, no, I had a moment, right? But it will draw you closer to God. What does suffering do? Suffering, if we let it, builds our faith. Suffering, if you will, toughens us up for greater challenges. Who knows what the Lord is preparing you for? You have no idea what's coming down the line. No idea. And then sometimes you go through a tough time and you think, man, that was awful. And then you have another tough time later and you think back and you're like, oh God, thank you for preparing me for this. Because if I didn't go through that first thing, I would have never been able to go through that second thing. Now, there's two guys going across after Jesus ascended to heaven. We've talked about this before, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Okay, they were going across the Roman Empire, preaching the gospel to people, okay, starting churches, getting arrested, getting beaten up, getting all kinds of trouble. They just kept going and going, get bit by snakes, get shipwrecked. They're like, whatever, let's keep going. They're doing it and they're doing it, doing it. And then, so they go all the way across the Roman Empire. And on the way back, they visit the churches that they started. Listen to what they say, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, the Apostle Paul speaking. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations, some versions say it's necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, does that sound like God's angry with them? No, he's saying you're going to have these things in your life. Okay, that's just the way it goes. Now, I'm going to say this thing twice because I want everybody to absorb this. Maybe if you're experiencing a lot of hard times that are not due to sin, you might be on the right path to glory. Let me say that again. I don't want you to miss it. Maybe if you're experiencing a lot of hard times not due to sin, you are on the right path to glory. That is a path that God has for you, preparing you for the kingdom of God. In verse 3, remember the question was, who sinned, the father, mother? Jesus doesn't go, well, it was all Adam and Eve's fault. He doesn't do that. Jesus, he answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, what do we notice with Jesus? What is he going to do? Okay, he's going to shift them, okay, from blame to grace. He's going to shift them from get that idea out of your head, okay, into unseeing the grace of God, okay? So neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, or they should be displayed in him. Now, we don't have a lot of time for this today. For you Bible geeks, any Bible geeks here? Few of you, okay, that's all right. I'm a Bible geek, I admit it. You might want to research the word theodicy. Theodicy. We've got it up there. We've got the slide. Okay? Theodicy. All right? Right? Theodicy. Now you say, what in the world is theodicy? Theodicy is this. If God exists, why is there evil and suffering in the world? Now, let's take this. Remember, God became a man, person of Jesus Christ. It's not like he didn't know about that. They killed him. They killed the apostles, all but one. Okay, so there's things we could think about in that. The problem is if we go down that rabbit trail, we'll all miss lunch. So we can't do that, all right? But you can look it up. But here, Jesus will do a miracle, and you know what? It'll be just a work for him then. I mean, it'll be as easy for you as, you know, getting a plate of food. It's absolutely nothing for him. Yet Jesus tells all of us the man's blindness is under the control of God in some way. He's like, God's got this. Don't worry about this, guys. Despite his blindness, Jesus will help him to see the glory of God. Isaiah 35, which we read earlier. And how will he see it? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's how he will see it. What I find most interesting is the term that's used here is the term works is plural of God, the works of God. Yes, the man will come to see, but we will also see that this man will be totally changed. He will become an incredible witness to the works of God. Okay? So people always say, is it God's works or man's works? Yes, this side's always got it. Come on, this team, you get this side, you got to do better. These guys always said, maybe you guys could sit that way over next week, okay? So that they always got it, okay? Is it? Yes, it is. So what the disciples' question is, now, is it well-intentioned or not? We don't know. But it leads Jesus to explain, okay, that God will overrule whose person you want to blame. That God is going to do an incredible work in this man's life. And from that moment on, this man will never be the same.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. you may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.